Good morning. I appreciate so much the what has gone before. If you'll turn back to John chapter 1, Brother Benjamin, you stopped right before I was going to start. I appreciate so much what's gone before. I don't have to spend a lot of time in building groundwork on this word that was mentioned here, because in verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, "And the Word." Well, we already heard who the Word is, right? Again, I don't have to spend time to relay that foundation. We already heard a wonderful sermon about who that Word is we're talking about. And it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We heard about Him being born into this world, that miraculous birth that He had, and He came to be with His people because one of His names is Emmanuel, which is God with us. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And in a parenthesis right here, it says, "And we beheld His glory." The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, where is John talking about beholding His glory? I believe it was on the Mount of Transfiguration, when He was there with James and Peter, and they beheld His glory. Because over in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1. If I can get to it, that'd be great. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's see. In verse 16, Peter writes, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses to His majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when He came, such a voice from heaven, the excellent glory, that this my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount." So they were eyewitnesses. So that, you know, if you need anybody to talk to you and tell you about things, you want an eyewitness, right? You want one that has beheld His glory. And we have the accounts of the ones who are actually there, who actually saw, who actually held the Lord Himself in bodily form. But brethren, He's gone on to be with God. He's in heaven right now, reigning, sitting upon His throne and making intercession for us. But we can still behold His glory here. We can still, in some sense, be with Him. Because it's the Word that was made flesh. We have His Word here. Because if you'll drop on down to verse 19 in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." We've already heard about the prophecies. You know, the prophets were able to speak hundreds of years before these events actually came before, but they were actually through the leadership of the Spirit, they were able to proclaim, "This is going to happen." Why? Because it's a prophecy of the Lord. It's Him. It says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing," verse 20, "knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." It's not of a private interpretation. It's back when Brother Elder Harris was reading from Isaiah, that's not Isaiah's opinion. No, it's according to "thus saith the Lord." That's the prophecy, is no private interpretation. Verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." Aren't you glad of that? It's not by the will of man. No, this prophecy came in the old time, not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We have the Word. We have God the Father, we have the Word, we have the Holy Ghost, that Spirit that dwells within us, that we feel, that Spirit that moved these men to pin these words down for us, because it was of no private interpretation. The prophecies came not by the will of man, but by the will of God. So when the prophets were able to proclaim that Jesus would be born, you could already tell Jesus was going to be born, right?
the prophets had spoken. And I've heard some people say, well, you know, it doesn't matter if God saves us this way. He could find another way. No, it cannot be another way. There can only be one way. The prophets had spoken, and it had to be. That's the only way it could be. That's the only way it can be. The prophets had spoken. This word cannot contradict itself because God cannot contradict himself. And last weekend, we tried to talk and speak about the security that we have in Christ. Brother and sister, the security that we have in Christ is finite. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. You remember over in Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In Christ. Well, Christ is this word that we're trying to talk about this morning. Christ is the one that the prophets had spoken of. He is the one to come. And it is his word that he has left us so we can do his will. So we can follow more closely to him, spend time with the Lord, so we can stand here and behold his glory. In 2 Timothy 3, we've already talked about the security that we have in Christ, in this word that he has left us. And Paul would try to encourage and strengthen Timothy to encourage this young brother. And in the interest of time, just verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, 16, it says, all scripture, talking about this word again, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Again, it's not the interpretation of men. It's not a man's thoughts. No, it's the inspiration of God. It's his words. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So much of our life, so much of our time is spent trying to make our lives profitable. Now, if all you're doing is trying to make your life profitable with money, you're going to be sorely mistaken. You're sorely left out. Now, you may acquire some riches for a little while. But like that rich fool, tore down his barns, built bigger barns, told his soul, take thine ease, for I have much goods laid up for many days. He was only thinking of himself. He wasn't thinking of living for others, trying to show forth that love that this word commands us to do. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. How is it profitable? It's profitable for correction, because there's times we need correcting. There's times that we're wrong. And we need to remember that sometimes we're wrong. That's why we need to live our lives according to thus saith the Lord, because thus saith the Lord is not wrong. It's right. That's our standard to go for. For is profitable for correction, for instructions, because I need instructions. I don't know how to do everything. You know, there may have been one time in my life I thought I knew a lot of things, but more the older I get, the more I realize I don't know anything. I need instructions. There's no better instructions to how I live my life and how do I conduct myself than the Word of God. Instructions in righteousness. My righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. I need that imputed righteousness of Christ. And the more I lean to, and the more I cling to, that I am secure in Christ, in this word that was made flesh, that came down and dwelt among us and left us with his word, that I may learn of him. It's profitable. Verse 17, that the man of God may be good enough, may be a little bit better. No. It says, may be perfect. Now, I know I can never attain that perfection, sinless of Christ. But that's my bar, right? That's where I need to set it. The higher the bar is, the higher I'm going to reach. But it says, the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And we will be perfectly furnished, right? Because it's throughly furnished, throughout. There's no time in our life, nothing that we're going to face in this life that the Word of God can't be of help to us. We can hold on to this so that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Laying hold to this Word and doing good to those, especially to those of the household of faith. But do good unto all. We don't know. I can't go out there and point my finger and say, there's a child of God, there's a child of God. Now we can say, they're acting like a child of God. They're not acting like a child of God. But that's not up to us to judge. The Word says, do good unto all men. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Those patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Last week I was trying to say about our security in Christ. We learn about our security in Christ through His Scriptures, through His Word. You know, the Spirit within us will rejoice when we hear those, and it'll just be more evident to us, and it should grant us that peace and that comfort, and especially our hope in Him. And through the Scriptures, through that Word that was made flesh, because His Word, the words that He spoke, the words that He inspired, it's His Word. You know, this is 66 books and some 40-odd penmen, but there's only one author, the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I was talking about making our lives profitable, I always love to just turn over to Joshua. You know, sometimes people say they want their lives to be profitable, they want to have success in this life. Well, there's only one place in the Bible that I know of that the word success is mentioned. Right. Only one. And again, for the interest of time, we won't go to read a lot, but we'll read in verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou shalt mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. How do we have good success in this life? By not letting this book depart from our mouth. By not letting this book depart from our mind. That's how we renew our mind every day, right? We read His Word. We soak it in. I want this Word to be so engrafted into my mind that I could just read my Bible when I close my eyes. I doubt I'll ever get that way. My memory is so terrible sometimes. But I can try. But that's how we make our lives profitable, by His Word. Now again, I'm not trying to sit there and say if you just do everything the Lord tells you, you're going to be living in a mansion one day, driving down a Rolls Royce in front. I'm not saying that. You know, we can have very little of this world's goods, but still be richly blessed with the blessings of the Lord. I tell you, I was reminded of that one time. I sat down in a chair. I got home from work, and my two children came and sat in my lap. I'm richly blessed. I'm a rich man. I may not have some new stuff, but I tell you, I'm a rich man. I have a loving family. I have a loving church family. Look around and see the blessings of the Lord. We want to be successful in this life. Let's hold to this Word that we heard about this morning. Let's hold to and let's cling to it. And let this be our guide, our corrections, our instructions, and especially instructions for righteousness. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.